You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Moretz with the program that puts his money where his fantasies are. On the Fantasy Sports Network, does it get any better than this? We are a couple hours away from first pitch. The Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox. I love postseason afternoon baseball. We've told you guys a million times over the last couple of weeks, this is the best time of the sports year, and this is we're getting to it right now, guys. We're a couple of weeks away. Once the NBA starts, then we're nearly in full swing, and then boom, college basketball around the corner. Then the buffet is open for everybody. So we've got something for everybody on the program today. You like baseball? We're talking baseball. You like NFL football? I know you like NFL football. We're talking NFL football. You like college football? We're talking college football. Want to talk some pucks? NHL started? We're talking hockey. We got a lot of stuff to get to on the program today. Teddy Cover is going to step up in his trade for the strip in Las Vegas at Nevada. Ted will throw it down. We'll run the gauntlet with Teddy. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk Tampa Bay Buccaneers, New England Patriots. We got NC State and Louisville on the board tonight. Like I said, there's something for everybody. Chris Meaney will join me in studio. We got a full slate of pucks. Chris, big baseball guy, big DFS fantasy football guy as well. So we run the gauntlet with Chris Meaney. Joe Lisi, he doesn't care about anything besides college football. Joe Lisi doesn't even know the Bucks are playing the Pats tonight. Joe Lisi's never heard of the National Hockey League, let alone like give us an opinion. Never heard what NHL? What league is that? Like, I'm gonna ask Joe, what's the NHL? And he's gonna tell us actually that it's like a Division III conference or something like that. Oh yeah, the NHL. Yeah. Joe Lisi's going to step up. And I love Joe Lisi. He's going to be all over the college football. Big game tonight. Big game. Fun football game. You know, what does it really matter if they're big, if they're small, or they're medium? If it's an entertaining game, it's an entertaining game. Last night turned out to be an entertaining game because we gave you a winner. Arkansas State, cash it. Also gave you the Arizona Diamondbacks, cash it. Gave you the St. Louis Blues. You weren't singing the Blues last night after I told you the Blues. Always bet against teams in the NHL, man, that raise the banner, okay? You know, like the Super Bowl on a Thursday night, the team generally covers, although the Patriots didn't this year. In the NHL, it's the opposite. Anytime there's a ceremony at an NHL game, even a regular season, keep your eye on this, guys. Like, anytime there's a ceremony, they're honoring somebody, and they like to honor people in the NHL, all right? It's like the freaking military or something. They go to a, you know, that's what the Canadians sell. The Montreal Canadiens, they don't sell their current team because their current team kind of is average. They're selling you the past greats. They're big on the ceremony nights. They always lose on these ceremony nights. You know, teams standing around on the ice for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, watching the ceremony, you're watching your banner go up. St. Louis Blues were sitting in the locker room getting ready for the hockey game. Pittsburgh in a tough spot tonight. They're actually playing again tonight. That's going to be our only pick of the night tonight, but we'll get to that a little bit later on. So we got Ted Safransky, we got Joe Lisi, we got Chris Meaney. We got a stack deck, we got a full house, and we're talking about everything that's relevant in the sports world right now. All right, we'll do a quick intro right now. But yesterday on the program, we discussed the National Hockey League puck drop. As the season was starting, we took a look at the future odds, and I said, man, this is a tough one. It's really hard to step up to the window and lock it down and say, you know what? This is the team that's winning the Stanley Cup. You can't beat these guys. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they are they're the favorites to win. I don't think they're going to be able to win again. All right? It's hard to win back-to-back, let alone to win three times. We're not in that era right now of hockey. The Pittsburgh Penguins, they're not winning the Stanley Cup this year. And, you know, the odds makers had the Edmonton Oilers listed as a second choice. And if I was forced, if I had to make a pick, and yesterday I reluctantly said, I guess the Edmonton Oilers. And, you know, listen, one hockey game doesn't make a season. And I remember last year, actually, Austin Matthews scored like four goals in the first game. And I think Cameron Tutt-Drew made the headline. I said that Austin Matthews is the greatest player ever. So I'm sure he's going to twist this. And I think he said something crazy yesterday about Connor. What did you say yesterday? I saw the headline. Morenci says Connor McDavid will dwarf Sidney Crosby's career. I praise Crosby, but I said McDavid's awesome. Now, I think the end of the world might be arriving, people, because the odds makers and a lot of hockey insiders think that the Leafs and the Oilers can actually play against each other in the Stanley Cup. Basically, that's like the Buffalo Bills playing the Detroit Lions in the Super Bowl, which is going to happen this year. But all kidding aside, Connor McDavid, man, the dude's the real deal. How many athletes are there out there? How many guys in each league is there? Listen, we'll all go to games. We're sports fans. I'll go see anybody. I bet on Filipino basketball at 3 a.m. But how many people would you say, you know what? Yeah, I'll give you a couple $100 to see this guy play. I got to tell people that I saw this guy in his prime type of deal. Kobe Bryant was one of them. LeBron James, you know, Magic Johnson, Wayne Gretzky, Tom Brady. You go down the list of like dudes, it's like, yeah, I would pay to see this guy. Russell Westbrook. Connor McDavid is a guy that you would pay to see play. And a lot of people are going to pay a lot of money, man. And I got to tell you what, there's going to be a lot of ticket brokers and scalpers that will be retiring if it's going to be the Edmonton Oilers against the Toronto Maple Leafs. Leafs lived up to the hype last night, punched the Winnipeg Jets in the mouth. Now, listen, this thing's a freaking marathon, man, and there's a lot of hockey to be played. They're not going to decide the cup until the summertime, all right? The rate the world's going at right now. Summer of 18 might not exist, okay? We got to live in the now, people. Live in the now. And on a serious note, if there's anything that we learned from the tragedy the other day and the tragedies that we see on a daily basis in this world, guys, life is short. You got to soak it up and enjoy it. It doesn't get any better than it does today with all this stuff going on. And it looks like it's not going to get any better than watching Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers play hockey this year. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Runcie. We got to give props to Cameron too, Drew. We like to bust him up a little bit, just a little bit. But did a great job. Our camera basically nearly fell off its perch. And he's so strong, he caught it with one hand, filmed the show with the other. And meanwhile, was on his cell phone the whole time, texting. Yeah. All at the same time, getting his bets in, getting his fantasy plays in. Great stuff. Great save. The stuff that happens behind the scenes. Normally behind the scenes is just me yelling and threatening to punch people and stuff like that. But like I said, I'm in a good mood today. How can I not be? If you're a sports fan, we've got Major League Baseball playoffs in the afternoon. We got a cool NFL game tonight. Normally NFL Thursday sucks. We got a fun college football game tonight. We've got a full slate of NHL hockey. We got something for everybody. We got some great guests, including Ted Savransky, a.k.a. Teddy Covers, who's in Las Vegas, Nevada right now. So I guess I'll temper down my intro a little bit. First off, my condolences to everyone in Vegas. Teddy, you know I live there as well. And it's actually in my heart, that actually is my home. When I show up in a McCarran, I feel more at home than I do when I'm pulling into any airport anywhere in the world. So, you know, it really broke my heart to see. But Vegas is resilient. And I know every city says this after the fact, but Vegas are gamblers, man. Vegas are casino workers. Vegas are people that have, you know, been knocked down in life before and picked themselves up. That's what they're doing there in the first place. I know it sounds cliche, but Vegas really is one of the toughest cities in America.
And one of the things that's happened, Gabe, from the aftermath of this, is Las Vegas has come together in a way. I've never seen it come together like this.
Yeah.
You know? It's not a neighborly town. You don't know the people that live next door.
When I lived there, I thought, you know, in my condo, it was very friendly, right? You know, that's different, condo life. But it was very friendly, and I found the community spirit pretty good. I was going to church and stuff. I knew people. And I noticed when I've been coming back over the last few years, that had been gone, Teddy. I noticed it was a more surly place, almost East Coast-ish. It's like all the East Coasters finally took the place over. and turned it into, like, you know, I noticed that. But yeah, I imagine a time like this, it brings people together more.
It really does, in a way that I've never seen happen in Las Vegas before, where neighbors are talking to neighbors and strangers are talking to strangers and people legitimately showing interest and trying to help Because so many people are affected. You know, I mean, you know me, I'm an old guy. I don't go around running around at country music festivals. Shoot. My wife, you know, knew 8 people that got shot. Literally, 8 people that got shot out of the people that were, I mean, and, you know, that's my wife. A kid from my kid's Little League team. You know, one of the parents didn't make it. I mean, it really affected the whole town. It wasn't just a tourist event, you know. And,
it's a small town. And I saw Carol and I saw Goodman, the mayor, talking about it. Yeah, there might be 2.5 million people, but she said everybody knows everybody. Like you said, everything's connected, Teddy, right? Everything's connected.
It's not that big a city. Exactly.
No, it's not. You know. Like everyone know, like you said, everyone know, there's that guy. I know that guy. Yeah, he's that guy there. And, you know, there's the guy in the sports book. There's the homeless guy. Like there's the horse. Everybody knows everybody there.
No, this isn't like a one-stoplight town in northern Wisconsin. I mean, it's a city of a couple million people. Everyone doesn't know everyone. But in the gaming world, you know faces. Everybody knows faces. That's the whole thing with the shooters. That everybody knew. Everyone's seen him. You know, he's not a stranger in Las Vegas. He's someone that's been around on a fairly consistent basis that the high rollers are all familiar with.
Yeah, it's a real, real tragedy. I think they should shut the 32nd floor down, personally. The entire floor, but nevertheless. Okay, Teddy, so like I said, yeah, the spirit and the heroism of some of the people, unbelievable. I got to tell you, I don't know if I could say the same thing, man. Saw a kid on the news last night from Irvine, California, ran out, got away. He was safe. He was like a couple of blocks away type thing, and he turned back. He said, what am I doing? I can't do this. He went back. He started pulling people out, and then he got shot in the neck. And then an off-duty cop from San Diego ran in and pulled him out. Like, you know, I don't know, Teddy. I would have been like, you know, I would have been on the opposite end of the strip outside the Stratosphere having a drink going, oh, my God, I can't, you know, what just happened. Some of these people, man, to do this for strangers and stuff, it blows my mind.
We think about who we are, and we think we have good ideas of who, you know, what kind of person is Teddy Covers? What kind of person is Gabe Morenci? The reality is that when you're in a life or death situation, an intense situation, you may not be who you thought you were. And there are people that step up in those situations. There are people that don't. And it's nothing. Hey, you're allowed to be fearful. You're allowed to hide.
Yeah, that's it. We're not judging people that kept on running.
Exactly.
You're right. Yeah.
No judge there. But
and the kid even said, they asked him, why did you do it? What did you think? Were you? He goes, I don't know. I wasn't thinking. He goes, I just heard screaming, and I said, I can't run from this. He said, I saw a girl lying on the ground. It was too much. And once it just, you know, and he goes, I wasn't thinking. Then he gets shot.
I like to think, again, I like to think of myself as the kind of person that would do that.
Yeah.
If it was ever in that situation that I would, okay, you can run or you can help people. I don't know. I like to think I'd be the guy that helped, but I can't.
And another thing.
We don't know until it happens.
We'll get to sports now, but another thing as well. You talked about it wasn't, you know, the friendliest place at times. And there wasn't an overly, we love the police in Vegas, right? Let's be real. As far as the LVPD was concerned, people are kind of indifferent, but there's, you know, there's been friction between the city and the LVPD before in the past. Yet, any criticism of them, how can they get there quick? What the hell do you want them to do? You can't tell what floor this stuff is on. You know, they figured it out in 12 minutes. They got to the 29th floor. The LVP did a great job. So for any law enforcement out there, you guys too, heroic running into the line of fire like that, man.
Hell yeah. I mean, the truth of it is that the Metro was insane.
We make more money than they do, Teddy.
Dude, 12 minutes. 12 minutes from a time a guy starts
shooting
out of a 32nd floor window, and they got, and they're there.
I saw one of the body cams of the cops. The kid looked like he was 22 years old, man. The kid's like leading people. Like, yeah, it's very, very, and these kids don't make a lot of money, these cops. So props to that. So, all right, let's make money. Red Sox, we'll blast through this now, Teddy, because we probably ate up some time here. Sometimes some things are more important. Red Sox and Astros. I like the Astros in this game, and I like the Astros in the series. Chris Sale, he struggled the last 2 months, Teddy. Never pitched in a big game like this before. Verlander has, and Verlander's eating this stuff up for breakfast.
Dude, you see Verlander's numbers over the second half of the season? He has an ERA under 2. You look at his numbers in Houston, he's got an ERA of 1.05.
Yeah.
He's been dominant. 5 starts, all dominant for the Astros. I'm with you 100%. This line, to me, I understand that Chris Sale in 30 of his 32 starts this year was minus 150 or higher. That's an insane number when you think about it. You know, although, you know, Kershaw's in the same boat. But minus 150 or higher, the other two games he was pick'em. One of the two games he was pick'em came against Justin Verlander in Detroit against the Tigers. Verlander shut down the Red Sox team that day. So that was on the wrong end of a 2-1 loss. That was back in April. You don't want to, you know, think about too much of that. But the bottom line is, the other thing about Sale, where the markets, you know, you see the markets, wow, the Red Sox is a dog. Red Sox is a dog. They're not big enough dogs. You know, all the money's come on Houston. But the other thing about Sale, you look at his career splits, and it's night. It's clear as daylight when you go through them. April, great number. March and April. May, great numbers. June, great numbers. July, great numbers. August, mediocre numbers. September and October, even more mediocre numbers. Sale's got a history of wearing down. It has been career long for Chris Sale. This is not a short-term thing. He did not pitch well in September, or certainly didn't pitch his best in September, and I want no part of him tonight. Astros are passed for me, or this afternoon, I should say. Astros are passed for me.
Yankees and Indians, a lot has been made about Corey Kluber not pitching in Game 1, and their reason doesn't make sense, for the record. As far as getting him on his rest for Game 5 and stuff, they're not playing Game 5 till Wednesday. So anyways, the whole thing with this is, I don't know what the real reason is, and Francona's not going to tell us the real reason anyways. Did Kluber want an extra day? Does Francona prefer? Now, Francona sort of said, well, you never go into a game saying you're going to lose a game, but if we do, it'd be nice to have Kluber in Game 2, which is a weird thing of saying, putting things. But ultimately, you look at Trevor Bauer, man, and this guy has also been lights out, Teddy.
Yeah, well, I have the actual quote from Francona right here, all right? I think on a number of reasons it makes good sense. Not that you're going into a game thinking you're going to lose, but if you do, you have your ace coming back. The biggest thing was keeping him, Kluber, on his five-day schedule. That was really important to Kluber. That was really the only way we could do it. Again, you don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse, but if you're fortunate enough to win in four, you have your ace ready for the next series. I understand it. You know, Kluber goes game five if they need a game five.
But game five is Wednesday, Teddy.
Yes, but the point is that he is there for game five.
I know, but could he be there for game five if he pitched today?
Yes, but they want him on it. They want him on his normal rest.
Yeah, but I don't understand it. But if he pitches Friday, okay, let's say, so he's going to pitch tomorrow, right? Mm-hmm. So he pitches tomorrow. Then he's on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Okay, so they're saying they don't want him with an extra day of rest?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the whole thing is, people say, oh, all right, that makes sense with the rest. I looked at the math. I'm like, well, it really doesn't, because then he's got shorter rest. And then I realized this is like politics. Is Francona really going to tell us the truth? Right? Is he, oh, yeah, this is exactly why we're doing this. I don't know. But I look at this and look at the line. I think the line's too low here, even with Trevor Bauer now. Bauer's not a stiff. And if anything, we saw John Gray get lit up last night. Is tonight Sonny Gray's turn?
Sonny Gray has not been great.
I know.
With the Yankees, by any stretch of the imagination. And Sonny Gray's a guy that got a lot of love, you know, pitching in Oakland. His advanced metrics are solid, but in terms of actual results on the field, Sonny Gray had one good season, and that's basically been the extent of what he's been able to do at the end. I mean, whatever. I'm not saying Sonny Gray is a bottom-tier starter, a mediocre. He's a good starter. But to say Sonny Gray is your ace, Sonny Gray's the guy we're counting on to win a Game 7 or to win a Game 1, is not something I'm willing to do. I'm with you. Yeah, the Tribe are priced cheaply in the game. I think they're priced cheaply in the series. But on the other hand, you know, Yankees are pretty good. No one's talking about the Yankees. Everyone's talking about the Indians and the Astros and the Indians and the Astros. No one's talking about the Yankees or the Red Sox. And I'm with you. I think Houston wins the series. But the Yankees, could they knock off Cleveland? Of the two upsets, I'd be more surprised if Boston won than if the Yankees won.
I have a good memory, Teddy. I remember both you and I, right at this time last year, said, oh, yeah, the Red Sox are going to beat the Indians. Then we got swept. It was like swept. It's funny how this stuff works. All right, Teddy, well, you know, you and I, you know, you like to come back and counterpunch at me a little bit. We're 2-for-2 in agreement. So now we're jumping onto the gridiron. Now we're jumping onto the grid. I'm sure there could be a disagreement coming here.
Let's brawl.
Yeah, New England Patriots and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We got some live movement here, real live movement. There's this million stuff going on. Yeah, hit refresh right now, Teddy, but I'm seeing 4.5. So you seeing that?
Yeah. The sharp money's coming on Tampa. And, of course, the sharp money's coming on Tampa because the wise guys will not accept New England as big road chalk with the worst defense in the NFL.
And what about the public and the square that tells you 16-3 off the loss against the spread? Did you see what they did to New Orleans after they lost? People just think the script's going to repeat itself. The public does.
I don't blame them. I don't have Tampa money in this game. You know, not a dime.
And you can make case for both sides. Like me, I'm a bigger degenerate than you are. So, you know, I'm liking Tampa. Although the guys, boy, T-Bone and our boy Steve, they're like, let's put the Bucks in the contest. I'm like, whoa. We're not betting against Brady here, right? You know, you want to bet on Tampa. But if I had to bet this game, call me Johnny Public here. I'm Johnny Manziel. I'm jumping on board. I got to go with the over, and it's coming down right now, and now in the 54 range. Talk to me, Teddy.
Yeah, we're seeing it get bet back up just a little bit. I'm seeing mostly 55s on my live odd screen right now. And look, the Bucs are a pretty ugly pig right now, too. You know, we talk about New England as being a team. There's no way a wise guy's going to lay the pros are going to lay points on the road more than a field goal with a team that has literally the worst defense in the NFL. The Patriots are ranked dead last in yards per pass allowed, and they're 31st in yards per rush allowed. They're god-awful. Yards per play allowed is the worst in the NFL. It's really, really ugly numbers on the defensive side of the ball. Tampa's defensive numbers are every bit as bad, if not worse.
Yeah.
Eli Manning has been under pressure every game. He's been sacked. There are tackles for loss. The Giants backs. You know, guess what? Eli Manning didn't get sacked last week. Did he take one? I don't know. It wasn't much. There wasn't much of a Tampa pass rush.
That's what I'm saying, Teddy.
They have one sack all year.
Wouldn't surprise me if this game was 28-23 at the half. I'm telling you.
It might be one
of these. Oh, my God. They're just scoring on every second play.
Sure. And of course, when you talk about what we saw two Thursdays ago with the Rams and the 49ers, when you had two tired defenses, which both, you know, on a short week, there were no stops at all in the second half of that game. It was just, you know, the offense is moving and the defense is panting for breath. If you don't see a high-scoring first half, the potential exists for a high-scoring second half as well.
I like where you're going with that. All right, Louisville and NC State. Interesting college football game here. How for real is NC State? Are they, do you think, look, last year they could have beaten Clemson and missed the field goal. What do you make of the Wolfpack? Are they playoff sleeper good, or is this like a 9-3, 10-2 team? You know, they got 22 seniors back. A lot of people were heavily hyped on this team coming into this year. They lost the opener to the Gamecocks. They beat FSU. Okay. Now they get Louisville coming in here. Numbers coming down a little, but I am surprised that Louisville is the road chalk here. I think you can make a strong case for the Wolfpack.
So I was reading some Dino Babers quotes this week. Don't worry. There's a point to the.
I know. For the record, I'm aware Syracuse just played NC State. Exactly.
They played. They went on the road to LSU and went on the road to NC State back-to-back weeks.
Yeah.
And Dino's like, there's no comparison. NC State's the better team. Flat out. NC State's the better team than LSU. He's like, in all aspects. So that certainly makes your case for the Wolfpack as being a value-laden team in this contest. Now, when you talk about that defense is no joke. You're absolutely right. That defense also got not just beat, they got lit up by Lamar Jackson last year to the tune of 44-0 at halftime. And Louisville, not one, not two, not three, they're like Oklahoma State. They've got 4 to 5 wideouts that are going to make plays against anyone. They can spread the field, and they have so many talented receivers. You can't simulate this squad in practice, and you can't spy Lamar Jackson with your safety, you know? So NC State, they play a 4-2-5 defense. The 4 and the 2, all defensive linemen, all the linebackers, the 4 and the 2, they're all seniors. They all got blasted by this team last year. They all remember. There's two also senior starters in the secondary that got blasted by this team last year. So a ton of returning talent for NC State. None of them had a clue how to stop Lamar Jackson last time. And even though the quotes from Syracuse are saying, you know, hey, this NC State team is real, I'm not going to take them. I'm not taking NC State plus the point. It's another game that's very fascinating to consider.
What about the total at 60.5?
I got nothing.
65.5, quickly on that. What do you make of that? Is it too high?
when you look at the nature of what these teams can do offensively, no, it's not too high.
Yeah, I know. And we should mention, yeah, we got Ryan Finley up here. Kid hasn't thrown an interception in like 292 passes or something like that.
He's due.
What's that?
I said he's due.
Yeah, I guess you could put it that way. I know we just jinxed him. All right, this is an over-under I got for you. Over-under in beers drank by the kids in Raleigh today. 180,000. Think about it. There's going to be about 85,000 of these kids. I think I'm short here. They might drink like 500,000 beers today and there for that game.
Sure, 80. I mean, 180,000. If there's how many people are 85,000?
Yeah, you figure 85,000 is what, times six. So we're going to drink like 1,000,000 beers, these kids?
Well, you say like, you know, maybe half of them will have one or less. And then the other half will have six or more.
Yeah, but a couple of goofballs from the frat, phi, sigma, whatever, they're going to be chug, chug,
they're
going to
drink 20, right? Yeah. So, yeah.
We got to get out of here, but I read the Michigan State game. It's at nighttime for the first time ever, right? So it's 110 years, first time they're playing ever. And Michigan's pissed about it. They're like, we didn't want it at night. It's ridiculous. And it's like, why are you guys still against this night thing? Anyway, it's on TV. We should be happy. And they're like, first off, it's going to be a circus outside the stadium. They said, we're going to have so many people outside the stadium that wouldn't be here. And then secondly, they're very concerned. They're like, people are going to be extra wasted. They're like, the Michigan's worried about a nightmare here on Saturday. Bring it on. I wish I was back in college again. Not that I ever went to college.
Look, and Michigan State's a great rivalry, you know, because it's not Michigan Ohio State. There's a genuine hatred there.
Michigan, exactly. Michigan,
you know, it's like you fighting with your brother, you know, but there is definitely a big brother little brother mentality to that series. Worth noting, D'Antonio 2-0 against the spread against Harbaugh so far, covering those numbers by an average of nearly two touchdowns per game.
Hey, you know what? I mean, they always talk about Ohio State. For me, it's Michigan State. It bothers me more losing to them than it does the Buckeyes. We got to get out of here. Teddy, always a pleasure, Teddy.
Cheers. Have a great day. Have a great weekend.
God bless, Teddy. All right, thanks for the time. Joe Lisi joins us next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's talk some college football with GoForTheDude.com's Joe Lisi. You watch him every Saturday morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Listen on the radio networks, Dish Network, Channel 266. I join Joe and Rich two times during the program with my best bets. And it's been a lot of fun. It's a great show, guys. If you're not watching, you're missing out. But our picks have been great. All three of us have been doing very well with our predictions on the program. Yet, last week was the first week I took it. I took it, man. I think I was like 2-4 or something like that on the show. It wasn't pretty. A lot of bad beats last week for me, Joe, on the college grid. But we pick ourselves up. We dust ourselves off. And we got an interesting and fun football game tonight with Louisville and NC State. And I kidded earlier, Joe, this is the best time of the sports year. You got the Red Sox, Astros play. You got the Bucks and the Pats tonight. You got NHL hockey. And I said, I bet you Joe Lisi doesn't even know the Bucks are playing the Pats tonight. I said, Joe thinks the NHL is, Joe's going to tell us it's like a conference in the D3. He's got his mind focused on the college gridiron. And we got a big game tonight with Louisville and NC State.
Yeah, we do, Gabe. We even had football last night with the Sun Belt, Arkansas State and Georgia Southern. So, intriguing battle tonight with Lamar Jackson. I really like Lamar Jackson in this matchup. I think his speed on the perimeter going up against that defensive front seven led by Bradley Chubb is the difference. And the way Louisville can stretch NC State's defense vertically, to me, will be the difference. NC State giving up 284 passing yards per game. Louisville passing for 365 yards per game. To me, that's the difference. The speed of Louisville catches NC State by double digits tonight.
Wow, you think they're going to beat them up? I'm going to disagree with you on this one. And we've got a lot of picks already, but I'm going to inform the boys in the booth. I don't know if I put the I was in a big haze this morning. There's so much going on. So I don't know if I put the over in this football game. Add the over. I think that's 11 picks we've got right now for tonight. There's a lot of baseball going on too, Joe, but you know, I can't disagree. Listen, it's impossible to stop Lamar Jackson. I don't think the NC State Wolfpack are going to do it. But at the same point in time, NC State should be able to put the ball in the end zone as they see fit. It's unbelievable, man. Finley doesn't turn the football over. It's a massive revenge spot from last year, the humiliating beatdown. We just had Teddy Covers on. He's brought up 44-0 at the half. 22 seniors back. I think NC State are a better complete football team than Louisville are. And I'm not a big Petrino guy. Give me Doran in this spot plus the points.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, Gabe. I mean, it's an ACC battle. You're talking about an up-and-coming NC State team that dominated Florida State in Tallahassee. They played well last week against Syracuse, no letdown. And now have to face one of the most dynamic players in college football in Lamar Jackson. I just think he's the best player on the field. And the way he can break contain, he can improvise, make big plays down the field. That's the way you have to beat NC State. But we'll see how it plays out a little bit later tonight.
Miami and Florida State, I know you're a Georgia fan, so you got the Miami Hurricanes. They're laying 3 here at FSU, and it's interesting because Georgia right now winning football games under Kirby Smart, and you know people are like, oh, well, look, Mark Richt's not there anymore, and they're winning football games. Yeah, but Mark Richt's in Miami now, and they're winning football games. And you know, the Miami Hurricanes, you know, they had one of their games canceled. They played on TV last week. They crushed Duke. They took care of business. This is a big game. I'm really intrigued to see. Can Rozier get it done here against an FSU team that's beaten them 7 straight times? It's a big game for the Miami Hurricane program. And I tell you, if they win this game, they're going to have a lot of confidence moving forward.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you mentioned the 7 straight wins. Florida State has won those games by 11.7 points per game. They did not look good on the road last week against Wake Forest. But I think this is a big spot for Florida State. I look at the secondary of Derwin James matching up against the inexperienced at wide receiver for Miami. To me, that's the difference. I think Jimbo Fisher over Mark Richt in a big spot. I think somehow, some way, Florida State strikes the upset this coming Saturday.
Yeah, Jimbo Fisher's never lost to the Miami Hurricanes. That's going to keep the boosters happy there. He's never lost. What about Mark Walton, though, expected back? This guy could have an impact on this football game.
Yeah, I mean, Walton's had a very solid year already. He stepped up against Toledo. His ability between the tackles will be critical for Miami in this ballgame to allow Malik Rozier to work off a play action. I mean, if Miami becomes one-dimensional in third down and long situations, I think that's the recipe that you want to see the Florida State defense take up with their defensive coordinator, Charles Kelly. We'll see if they are able to do it. I mean, Wake Forest was able to move the football. Was it an emotional hangover after that NC State game? We have to see. This is a rivalry game. Throw the stats out the window. Each team should be into this matchup.
You look at the Florida Gators, and I got to give credit to Coach McElwain for holding this thing together. So they get punched in the mouth. First, they have all the suspensions. And behind the scenes, you know he knew that the hammer was going to drop. That's why he wasn't playing these kids. So he had to deal with that behind the scenes, losing his best running back, losing his wide receiver. You had a quarterback carousel, which I somewhat put on him for not just making up his mind. You get punched in the mouth against Michigan. Everyone's suspended. You could say, man, the wheels are going to fall off on this thing. But they just find a way. You know, the miracle win on the Hail Mary against Tennessee. So the game doesn't go to overtime. They've beaten Kentucky 30 times in a row. It looks like, oh, the streak's over. Nope. They end up pulling it out. They win by a point. They get out of there. Yet then last week, they beat Vanderbilt. They're starting to flex their muscle a little bit. You can see the confidence growing with the kids that are there right now. I think this suspension thing and the arrest is a thing of the past with these guys. But now they lose their quarterback again. So now Franks is back in. Yeah, I don't mind Franks. Yeah, he's a kid, but I don't mind him. And he was the one that hit the damn Hail Mary at home against Tennessee. And you get LSU, and I don't know what they're going to do here, man. They ran miles out of town. You get this guy in here. He can recruit, but he can't coach. Ed's not going to be there in a year or two. I feel bad for the guy, but I think the Florida Gators beat them here. I don't see LSU bouncing back here. I think this LSU program is in a tailspin.
Yeah, I mean, their backs are against the wall. The reason why Florida's been able to win three straight games now is they're running the football consistently. They put up 186 yards against Kentucky, 218 last week against a solid Vanderbilt team, and now LSU comes to town. This is an LSU team that's still rushing for 192 yards on the ground. Darius Geis does come back. LSU's won three of the last five by 7 points per game. I think this is the most athletic defensive front, even though they didn't show it against Troy, that Florida's faced over the last 3 weeks. They've been living dangerously. I think LSU gets a close victory in the Swamp. 23-20, Florida will be without their leading wide receiver in this matchup. That's going to put a lot of pressure on Felipe Franks in this ballgame.
I don't like betting on college unders, but the total's 45.5. I don't see how they're going to get to 46 points here. I also don't like picking on college quarterbacks. So, but at the same point in time, the quarterback play of LSU is subpar. And we've known this for years, and they're going back to Etling again and again and again and again and again and again and again. It's not working, Joe. It's not working. I think the Florida Gator defense will create havoc for him. He'll make mistakes. And I think Florida will find a way to win a low-scoring game. But it's going to be a real dogfight, man. Man, it's going to be a hard-hitting game. If you like defense, check that game out. You like hard-hitting. All right, unfortunately, we've already got 2 minutes left, so we can't get to all the games I wanted to. Alabama and Texas A&M, 26.5 points. Bama's been killing teams, but is this too many points to lay A&M and Captain Kirk?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, Alabama's won four of the last five by 25.4 points per game, but I think Texas A&M only giving up 95 rushing yards per game, plus 8 in turnover margin, and holding opposing offenses to 28% on third downs keeps this game within the number. Alabama wins, but it's within the number. Figure anywhere 14 to 17 points in College Station.
Washington State, we'll be quick on this one. Washington State got the massive win against the USC Trojan. It's funny watching the parasites in the media abandon ship on Sam Darnold. He went from the slam dunk, teams are going to tank to get him, to them losing on the road, to, oh, he's terrible, and no, I don't know, I question his mechanics. It's comical, these clowns. All right, but anyways, Washington State, big win. You could say, well, it's kind of a letdown spot for them, but it really isn't. They're 5-0, and they are in the national championship, you know, playoff conversation right now, Washington State. And they get a duck team. It looks like they're going to be starting Burmeister at quarterback. It was a kid, guys. They lost two quarterbacks. Herbert was playing good football for them. He got hurt. The other kid came in. He got hurt. Now, Burmeister came in at the end of the game, just handed the ball off a bunch of times. Looks like he's going to get the start here against Wazoo.
Yeah, Washington State's won the last two by 12.5 points per game. Their secondary only giving up 142 passing yards per game is the difference. Washington State continues the momentum. They get the upset win. I can't believe they're underdogs. They win this ball game by double digits.
All right, Joe, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for the time. We'll speak Saturday morning.
Can't wait, Gabe. Love the show.
All right, there's Joe Lisi with us. Always a pleasure. Catch me, Joe, and Rich Sermonello. They're on for 3 hours. I'm just on for a couple of minutes, giving my best bets of the day. Chris Meaney joins us in studio next.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I'm Gabe Renzi. Welcome Chris Meaney into the studio. As Chris Meaney, one of the great experts that we have here at the Fantasy Sports Network. I'm just one of the great loudmouths. Head over to dailyrota.com, enter code FNTSY, get 10% off DFS kits for expert projections, analysis, and lineup. Take your DFS play to the next level with dailyrota.com if you want to win money. And tonight's actually a pretty interesting Daily Roto type of day. Something for everybody, Chris. The best time of sports year.
Oh, it's
you want to play DFS baseball, play baseball. You want to play football, Want to play some hockey? You can play some hockey. There's something for everybody.
Yeah, and basketball in a couple of weeks, NBA and college. Yeah, this is the busiest time, I think, in the sports world. Right around October and March, the two busiest months.
I've been saying a lot recently in fantasy sports and in betting on sports, we tend to overthink things. You know, listen, we get paid. Analysts want to make themselves seem important by telling us different numbers and stuff. But sometimes things are really simple. And last night I was talking to people. I'm like, taking Connor McDavid? Well, no, I'm going to look for, maybe his line mates and this and that and the other thing. And it's sort of the same thing like going into tonight with Tom Brady. It's like, yeah, he's expensive, but he's going to throw five touchdown passes.
I know. Well, and Tampa Bay's missing like their best players, right? Like on the defensive side of the football. David is not there. Alexander's not playing. DJ Ward is not playing.
Yeah, Ward, yeah.
There's a lot of guys missing from this ballgame. And I wonder if the Patriots will, because their offense is so good and it's so efficient, and I wonder if they'll take the approach of just maybe slowing things down a little bit their defense off the field. I'm with you, and I think it's going to be a high-scoring team.
You're a smart guy, man. You're bringing it up, too. Belichick might think, the only way I can save these guys is by not having them on the field.
I wonder that. I mean, the offense, again, it's so efficient. And Brady is on pace to have the passing touchdown record, the yards record, everything. They're having no problems offensively. But their defense has just been so pathetic to start the year. They're out of sync. I wonder if they're missing because Rob Ninkovich is gone, Jamie Collins, all these guys over there they've lost over the last two or three years, that maybe it's starting to catch up to them.
I
don't know. So maybe they run the ball a little bit more, but I mean, this is another great matchup. High scoring. I like the over. I like both quarters.
I'm not a big Thursday, Sunday guy. I'll do it a Monday, Thursday,
Yeah,
sometime.
Me neither. I don't play a lot of Sundays.
I don't do it a Thursday, Sunday thing because I'm an impatient son of a bitch. So I don't want to, I don't want to play now.
Yeah, no,
but
I hear you.
Tonight's one of these nights, and our boy Cameron 2 Drew is pretty slick. He did the Monday, Thursday, got a couple of what? You had Kelsey?
Yeah, he had a good start.
Yeah, you got Kelsey and Kareem Hunt. Nice start.
Great start.
To me, I really do, and I could be way off on this. You raise a great point that Belichick could, because Belichick is a diabolical genius that he'll figure that stuff
Something
out.
Something has to change, right?
But at the same point in time, I'm going in there thinking, you know what? It wouldn't shock me if it was 28-25 at the half. I think they both go up and down the field.
Yeah.
And I think you can really put yourself in a nice spot tonight, guys, going into Sunday by catching one of these guys at a bottle. But what about Winston?
Well,
$2,000 cheaper
exactly.
than Brady.
Yeah, Winston's $2,000 cheaper than Brady. Mike Evans is my number one wide receiver this week in fantasy. So
I've got to get Brady in here. New England's had a big, hard time. They're giving up like 16 fantasy points a game to tight ends, man.
And
I might be a daily roto expert, but I can tell you that.
You might as well be, Gabe. Listen, they're giving up the most fantasy points to quarterbacks. They're top five against running backs. They're top five against wide receivers. And they're top five against tight ends. They're not stopping anybody.
Because I looked at Cameron Brate's prop, and it's only 3.5.
Yeah,
and I'm all like, man, the Patriots giving up. And Winston likes to throw to break. People thought because O.J. Howard arrived. No, they used two tight end sets.
And you mentioned he had a touchdown last week. He had the most touchdowns among tight ends last week, last year, Cameron Brate. O.J. Howard was good. Mike Evans is a good matchup. He passed all of the tests that he's had so far. I mean, he was okay against Xavier Rhodes, and he was fine last week against Janoris Jenkins.
I don't want the running backs tonight, do you? No running backs?
It's tough to know which guy in New England, right? I mean, because Deion Lewis comes in and gets a goal line touchdown last week. I mean, who would have thought that was going to happen? So it's tough to figure out which guy is going to be, and for Doug Martin coming in and having his first game and being suspended for the first three games, it's tough to know for him what the workload is going to be. So I like him, and I like DeSean Jackson. He stretched the field, too.
All right. I like the value menu deals. I'm sure Cam would be a big fan of the value menu.
Oh, he would love it, yeah.
I like I love Chris Meany's fantasy value menus. So anything good here? I got one, but it's very ballsy. And
it's a quarterback position?
It's going to be very contrarian. And actually, one of the guys is the team that I'm wearing a jersey of right now, Jacoby Brissett.
Brissett for me.
And I know people are going to know Brissett. I think a Brissett, T.Y. Hilton stack, sneaky surprise. But what about Hoyer, $4,700? The guy's cheaper than guys that don't even play.
I know. There's actually
a lot of money to spend.
I know. It really does. There's a lot of quarterbacks. I play
Can
Brissett.
Can he throw two touchdowns?
That's
three
all
touchdowns?
You need. That's all you need. And him and Pierre Garçon, that's a nice stack. If you're going to play Hoyer, you might as well play Garçon in that play as well. Maybe even Carlos Hyde if you want to. And for Hoyer, and you see there, and we just saw Brissett up on the screen. For Brissett, I played him with Hilton against Cleveland. That worked out. This is a good matchup. It's two cheap quarterbacks. and it can allow you to spend up at the running back position. I think Le'Veon Bell is a must this week. It's a great matchup against the Jags. He's very expensive, but I think you have to play him. So to play those quarterbacks, it allows you to spend up elsewhere. I like those guys. I like rolling the dice at contrarian play at Goff against Seattle. I don't think that's the same defense.
You've been riding the Goff train.
I have, and it's worked out.
And why would you get off when they keep scoring 35 points every
And
week?
Everybody is off them. Everyone's like, oh, well, they've just lit up bad defenses.
Yeah, you know what my luck, though? The one guy I jumped on last week on the Rams?
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, and I played Cup. And it's going to continue to be Cup in these tough matchups going forward, because after this, it's the Giants, it's the Cardinals. All the attention's going to go on Sammy, and it's Cup who's getting the targets and the touchdowns. He's got two this year.
You're
so
right.
Far.
Nobody,
so.
People are going to go, oh, no, not against Seattle.
No one. And no one's going to play Flacco as bad as that offense has been. The Raiders' defense sucks. I'm willing to roll with some of these quarterbacks. The guy that I'm really liking the most.
EJ Manuel?
Yeah, no, I like Ravens defense. The guy I'm liking the most is Carson Palmer. So nobody has thrown the ball more than Carson Palmer this season. 183 passing attempts. No one thrown it more inside the red zone, 32. Nobody has allowed more catches to wide receivers than the Eagles, 63 on the year. I love Palmer. I love Jerome Brown, who's as cheap as you can go. 29 targets, 14 catches, over 200 yards in three games. Larry Fitzgerald always lights them up. I like the Palmer offense here to move the ball, at least, to score some points. And for Ellington, I just want to throw out Andre Ellington for a second. Since week two, nobody has more targets than him. Nobody has more pass routes, ran more than him, 101, according to Pro Football Focus. And last week, 14 targets, one fewer than the league high across the board in Odell Beckham Jr. So they can't run the ball at all. They can't. They're dropping back and they're throwing. So I'd like them to continue to throw. And then some of these guys are pretty cheap in that offense.
All right, we've got about a minute and a half left here. We got afternoon baseball, Sale versus Verlander. We got the Yankees tonight with the Indians. NHL hockey started. Interesting spot, Pittsburgh Penguins last night. Go to overtime.
Yeah, tough
extended
spot.
Extended game ceremony. Now they play against Chicago. Short price here, Chicago Blackhawks minus 135. I like the Blackhawks tonight. Flyers are at the Kings. Flyers won last night. That's another back-to-back spot, but I don't want to lay 65 cents with the Kings. Habs and Sabres, you're a Habs fan. I'm from there. One thing I do know, they always lose in Buffalo, but they usually lose these Friday night games when they play in the regular season.
And that's the
30
thing.
Seconds, what's your take?
My take is I like Buffalo too. Price has lost four of his last five games against the Sabres. Usually he doesn't play. It's Montoya they'll throw in the backup. But if you look at Price, he's 14-12-8 against Buffalo in his career. That's by far the worst of any other team in the East. He usually owns everybody in the East besides the top teams in Pittsburgh, Tampa, and Washington. So I like the Sabres in this spot. They're healthy. They're young, exciting. They can score some goals.
Could be a live home dog tonight on the NHL ice. Cashed that big dog last night with the St. Louis Blues. You weren't singing the Blues after that win.
And the Indians win the World Series, bud.
Indians win the World Series, says Meany. Dodgers, Indians is what I got playing in the World Series. Dodgers win. Dodgers win.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day, and we've got a lot of them. Man, it's a great time of the year. Let's start off with some afternoon baseball. Chris Sale has struggled over the last 2 months of the season. Justin Verlander has not. Justin Verlander has pitched like Cy freaking Young, man. Give me the Houston Astros here. I think the price is a little bit too short, about as 135. Trevor Bauer's on the hill. A lot has been made about Kluber not pitching. Look at Bauer, man. He's 9-1. 9-1 his last like 12, 13 starts. I like Bauer tonight. I'm going to lay it at 45 cents. Give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I can't trust this Patriot team to be laying points on the road. In fact, I think Tampa can beat them outright. I think the game's going to come right down to the wire. It's going to be a track meet. I think it's going to go over the number. Tom Brady, over 26.5 completions. Jameis Winston, over 24.5 completions. Rob Gronkowski, I was unaware. Belichick said he's going to be limited, so proceed with caution on this one, if not scratch it. Cameron Brate, I do like a lot, over to 3.5. Long field goal, over 44.5. NHL hockey. Chicago Blackhawks. Pittsburgh Penguins are in a bad spot here. Is that all I got? I felt like I had more picks. Is that it? Only 11 picks? Come on, man. only 11. We're going to crush it. Oh, there was a bonus pick with 12. That's right. Yeah, we're going to get it. Be careful with the Gronkowski, though, guys, with the 5.5. May the winners be yours.